Allahu Ekber, Allahu Ekber.
Conscious of his own creator. a Muslim supposed to be the one he is having conscious of whom is the creator. Because what is a Muslim? The one who submit to the will of the creator. The one who submit and surrender to the will of the creator. Today we have to look and think. From Islamic point of view, once anything happened, I have nothing to do with it. It's qadar, it's destined. I like it or I don't, I have to have three things happen to me. Number one, I have to believe without no doubt it is the best. Only if I know. Number two, I like it or I don't, I have to be in a state of contentment of what happened. Number three, I have to be patient and a state of thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I do that, I did the right of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did. If I get upset, I get angry, I fear too much, I'm happy too much, I lose the message. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said in Surah Al-Furqan, وَجَعَلْنَا بَعْضَكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ فِتْنَةً أَتَصْبِرُونَ وَكَانَ رَبُّكَ بَصِيرًا. We create you as a trial to each other. Are you going to be patient? And Allah is all-knowing, all-seeing. What is the message? And when a Muslim wants to do any action, before we do any action, we have to ask ourselves three questions. Is this only purely for Allah? If it's for Allah, it's barakah and blessing. If it's not from Allah and for Allah, it will be a sin and against you. And it has to be according to Sharia, according to the rule of Allah and the constitution of Allah. And number three, it has to be according to the teaching and the sunnah of the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is a pillar of the accepted deed. The scholar said, this is a pillar of accepted deed. It has to meet these three criteria. Number one, purely to Allah. Number two, it has to be according to the Sharia. And number three, it has to be purely according to the teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No hawa and desire. Today, my brother in Islam and sister in Islam, we live in a high tragedy, high calamity. The calamity from whom? From Allah. What is the message? A wake up call. Why? Because we're sleeping. We neglect what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do. We reject the message of Allah, and we're running after dunya, and we forget what is our duty, what is our role, who am I, and where I'm going. And let me tell you something, I bear witness to Allah, I'm going to give it to you straightforward. If the ummah do not wake up now, the second trial will be severe. Why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sunan. Allah has sunan. Sunan of Allah never change. Sunan meaning he has a way of dealing with his creation. Go read Surah Al-Rum, Surah Al-Hajj, Surah Al-Ahzab. We're not better than all the Muslims in Mecca. If you ask me today where we are, we're just in the edge of the beginning of entering Mecca. We don't even enter yet. We do not enter yet Mecca. We do not even start Mecca yet. Anybody today, he says, I'm in Medina, he's a liar. Because if you claim you are in Medina, meaning you already did all the sacrifice of Mecca, and you already migrate from Mecca to Medina. Because nobody went to Medina until he immigrated. And immigrate from Mecca to Medina, meaning you immigrate completely for Allah. You know who's doing that today? The non-Muslim. The non-Muslim, once they embrace Islam, they do complete hijrah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We did not do it here. We're full of culture, habit, customs, tribalism, where we come from, garbage, dunya, diseases, and maybe a little bit of Islam. We're not willing to clean, we do not want to clean, we do not want to learn, we do not want to know what Allah wants from us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us golden opportunity and we're still sleeping. I'm going to give it to you quick because we have very short time. The early scholars, he said, you will never go to Medina unless you make Mecca. You will never go to Medina unless you completely do Mecca. In the end of Mecca, we know the ultimate sacrifice to be a Muslim is no one hypocrite in Mecca. No one single hypocrite in Mecca. Because to be a Muslim, you can die. To say I'm a Muslim, you can die. The rich helping the poor. And everybody do one job, die. Everybody invited to their tribe, to their people, whatever. But not only da'wah. Da'wah and generosity and kindness and manner. Today we want to do da'wah on the internet. We won't just give them some book and run away. This is not da'wah. Da'wah first, you have to set the role model. You have to set the quality. You have to have the adab and akhlaq. You have to be generous to attract people toward you. This is number one step in da'wah. If you're not generous, if you do not have adab and akhlaq, you're not going to do da'wah to Islam, you're going to do da'wah against Islam. And this is what the Muslims are doing today. We the one, we enemy of Islam today. More than anybody on earth. Because when non-Muslims look at us, they wonder, they're confused. They do not know what to do. They do not know what this people are all about. Which sect, which group, which ideology. And we destroy the image of Islam. My dear brother in Islam, today is a call, a wake-up call from Allah. If you go to Mecca, you find out the main message in Mecca was Iman and Yaqeen. Iman and Yaqeen. Because without Iman and Yaqeen, you would be finished. If Allah give us a little bit of trial, a lot of Muslims will deny Islam. A lot of Muslims will become murtad. They cannot take it. You will lose your job. You will lose your money. You will lose your house. People will run after you. Exactly what happened in Bosnia and Albania. And what are you going to do? What you have to save yourself. If you have Iman and Yaqeen, Allah will save you. If you're working for Allah, Allah will save you. But if you're running nuts after dunya and all you worry about your money, your wife, your kids, you're finished. Wake up before it's too late. And remember me, I say to you now, I did my job. The second trial, we cannot handle. May Allah be merciful with us. And save us from ourselves. Because the ultimate enemy of Islam today is us. I'm saying it to you. The ultimate enemy of Islam today is us. We do not have the quality. By this way, if you ask me what is the highest mandatory fard ayn now, to learn Iman and Yaqeen, to start making tawbah, set the intention, cut you from your budget, and spread Islam the maximum you can. By money, by role model, by being good and kind to the neighbors, by being a sponge. If you have something or somebody approach you with any question and you do not know, don't try to be a philosopher or a scholar, say, I do not know, and go to somebody who knows. Be mercy to yourself and mankind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said that already. He says the constitution. اَرْحَمُوا مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ يَرْحَمُكُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ. Be mercy to what in earth, Allah be mercy to you. مَنْ لَا يَرْحَمْ لَا يُرْحَمْ. Whoever do not spread mercy, Allah will not grant him mercy. أَرْحَمُونَ يَرْحَمْهُمْ الرَّحْمَنِ. Those who spread mercy, Allah will be mercy with them. What is more than spreading the mercy of Islam? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. I did not send you except mercy to mankind. One of the early scholars, he said, if you listen carefully to this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said it in His own book, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mercy, rahmah. Whoever gets closer to Muhammad, he's getting closer to the rahmah of Allah. The more you want to reach the mercy of Allah, you have to get closer to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do you know what is the highest sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? To people be saved from hellfire and enter Jannah. This is the ultimate sunnah. Today, some people think, if I am good, I'm doing my Islam, my family is good, I'm done. And I heard it a few days ago, some people start backing up and going back home. If money is America, we stay. If the money decrease and the time get rough, we run. How long are we going to run? From where to where? What is our attention? We have to wake up. Wake up before it's too late. This is the time, the sifting time. What it mean? This is the time Allah check us out. Allah check us out. Who's a Muslim? Who's a pure hypocrite? And who's a disbeliever? A lot of Muslim wealthy. I'm telling you. You have a kufi, take the kufi off. Why you take it off? I'm afraid. You have a beard, he took it off. Why you take it off? I'm afraid. You have a hijab, take the hijab off. Why? I'm scared. Why? Because we never have iman and yaqeen first. We put the kufi, we put the beard, we put the hijab, but we never bring iman and yaqeen. You see? Because all this sharia, all this fiqh, all this regulation, all the ahkam came in the end of Medina. Not in the beginning, even in Medina. My dear brother in Islam, inshallah, after Salah, any concern, any questions, I will be here after Salah. For your benefit, you should start sacrificing. If you're running after your job, remember, what happened in Bosnia and Albania can happen. You cannot run from Allah. The sunnah of Allah is the same. The sunnah of Allah is the same. If America is involved in any war, and people start coming in bodies and bags, the American people will not like what they see. And what happened? Already now, million and million of dollars lost every day. A lot of people losing their job. A lot of people losing their income. And we get spoiled. We get spoiled over the money we have. Once the dollar decreases, the Muslim today, astaghfirullah al-azim, worship with the dollar. Once the dollar decreases, the iman decreases. Dollar is good, iman is good. This is a test and a trial from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For all of us, what about the non-Muslim? They have a test, and believe it or not, they pass. They pass the test, we the ones who fail. After this happened, people start saying, oh God, I've been in this country for 23 years, never see Americans say, oh God, like this time. I never see people go to the churches like this time. I never see people God conscious like this time. And what about Muslims? Close the masajid, no more salah, running, get confused, scared. Go read Surah Al-Tawbah. يَحْسَبُونَ كُلَّ صَيْحَةٍ عَلَيْهِمْ. Who's that? The hypocrite. They take every sound and everything against them, and they start to, you know, get so uptight. The Muslim, the ultimate fear, the fear of Allah. The love to Allah, the tawakkul in Allah, the yaqeen in Allah, the relationship between you and Allah. This is what we need, my brother. This is a wake-up call for iman and yaqeen. For all of us to remember, where's our iman, where's our yaqeen, where's Allah is the doer, Allah is the protector, Allah is the owner of dignity. What is dignity? One brother asked me, what is dignity? Dignity to even if somebody cut you into pieces, but your heart full of Allah. La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. And if you are having palaces all over and you do not have Allah, you have no dignity. Whose is that? Allah. Man kana yurid al-izzah, falillahi al-izzatu jami'a. Whoever needs dignity, the dignity belongs to Allah only, completely. This is the time to ask yourself, I have dignity or I disgrace myself? You will not disgrace Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody can do. We disgrace ourselves or we gain dignity to ourselves according to how is our relationship between us and Allah. And today, my brother in Islam, I'm not a scholar, I'm not a faqih, but I tell you this in the front of Allah. Each Muslim, fardu ayn, today, in America or any place, to do involve in da'wah in the maximum you can. Cut from your budget. Cut a part of your budget. Go buy Islamic books. Give to your neighbor and friends, the non-Muslim. And remember, Abdullah ibn Umar, radiallahu anhuma, he was slaughtered one sheep. When he said to the people who helped him, when we finish, please take the best and give it to my Jewish neighbor. They said, oh Abdullah, you? He said, I saw the one who's better than me and you doing better than that. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He never slaughtered any sheep or any meat and he did not give first to his Jewish neighbor. Because the right of neighbors, they have right over us. Jewish, Christian, Buddha, Hindu, whatever. Because unless we show them generosity and kindness, unless we show them the quality of a Muslim, all the books, all the internet will not work. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the door, is a guider. He can open any time. But where is the quality of Muslim? To Allah, give them the gift. Is me I have the quality? Is me ready to receive the gift of Allah, the ultimate gift? The ultimate gift in earth. To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, use you to spread his deen. And we're running after $5 and $10. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open our heart before it's too late. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala show us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the right of the iman and yaqeen in our heart before it's too late. أَقُولُ قَوْلِي هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ الْعَظِيمَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ أَجْمَعِينَ. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم والتابعين إلى يوم الدين. The time is short and the angel of death is coming and each one of us will be standing in the front of Allah and we will be accountable of everything we do, everything we say, everything we make effort for it. Somebody said, how I gain iman and yaqeen? Iman and yaqeen, you do not gain it just by sitting crying and making dua. This is number one. But after that, Allah will trial you. Where's your love? Where's your devotion? Where's your connection? Who's the one you think about it? Who's the one you're afraid from? Who's the one you love? According to what you have in your heart, Allah will give you. And you have to sacrifice. Because you're sacrificing with your money, with your effort, with your time. This will generate some iman and yaqeen in your heart. Because we attach to material things. And we see it all over. People so attached, even to a dog or a cat. Now is the time to come and ask ourselves, is my heart attached to my Lord, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or my heart attached to somebody else? And I have shirk in my heart. We know in Islam, all the sins is forgiven except shirk. And today, my brother in Islam, the shirk is spread among us so severe in all kind and he was soon sleeping. More than you imagine, and we do not want to wake up. Please, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wake up before it's too late. Because all of us in one boat, I will not be saved. I will not be saved. Because we are in one boat. If you do not like what I heard you hear, go read any chapter of Amr bil Ma'ruf wa Nahi al Munkar. Because it's our job to exercise what is right and forbid what is evil. My dear brother in Islam, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put barakah in our time, to put barakah in what we say, and to wake up us before it's too late. Allahumma ahdina fi man hadayt. Allahumma ahdina fi man hadayt. Allahumma ahdina fi man hadayt. Wa tawallana fi man tawallayt. Wa tawaffana fi man tawaffayt. Wa barak Allahumma lana fi ma a'tayt. Wa asraf anna shara ma qadayt. Innaka taqdi bil haqq wa la yuqda alayt. Innaka la ta'izzu man adayt. Wa la tadillu man walayt. تباركت ربنا وتعاليت. اللهم يا واصل المنقطعين اوصلنا اليك. اللهم هب لنا من لدنك رحمه توصلنا بها اليك. اللهم انصرنا على انفسنا وانصرنا على من عادانا وانصرنا على شياطين الانس والجان جميعا يا رب العالمين. اللهم اجعلنا هداة مهديين غير ضالين ولا مضلين ولا فاتنين ولا مفتونين برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين. ان الله يامر بالعدل والاحسان وايتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله يذكركم واقيموا الصلاه.
الله اكبر الله اكبر الله اكبر الله اكبر. اشهد ان لا اله الا الله اشهد ان لا اله الا الله اشهد ان محمد رسول الله اشهد ان محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاه حي على الصلاه حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح. قد قامت الصلاه قد قامت الصلاه. الله اكبر الله اكبر. لا اله الا الله.
صلوا صلاه الوداع تذكروا الموت. Does anybody ask himself why? Why it happened? Does anybody ask himself what's the wisdom behind it? Because once anything happened, it has to have a wisdom from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even the ultimate calamity has a wisdom. Anybody ask, even ask Allah, oh Allah, what is the wisdom behind it, Ya Allah? Show me, Ya Allah. After this happened, what Allah want from us? Is anybody understand what going on really as a Muslim? By this way, you know your role. Do you know if you do not ask question what it means? Do you really know? Imagine if I'm a Muslim, I do not know what's going on. I do not know my status. Meaning with Allah, I do not know at this moment what Allah wants from me. I do not ask any learned person what it means. I'm going according to hawa, desire. I'm a slave to Allah? No. Because a Muslim in every situation, either you know or you go to ask somebody you trust. Can you tell me what's going on and what Allah wants from me now? What is my duty now? Believe me, we are in big trouble. You can study, you can do whatever, but is a calamity when it comes, and I bear witness, you will see it. If this ummah, if we do not wake up now, the second stage will be so severe, you cannot handle it. Very few people will handle it. Meaning very few people will be a Muslim, and the majority of Muslims will be lifting Islam. Because he cannot take it. You remember what happened in Bosnia? What happened in Albania? You remember what happened in Spain? Is anybody study the history of Spain and find out what happened?
Yeah.
When George II came and slaughtered Muslim right and left? A small amount, not even 5 to 10%, flee to Morocco and Cyprus and neighbors. What about the 90% of the Muslims? Almost 70% they embrace Christianity in the front of people. And in hidden, they used to pray as a Muslim. But in the front, of everybody is he act like a Christian. Wonder what happened to their generation as he become Christian. And almost 10-15% get killed. These are Muslim. These are Muslim who died in the state of Islam. Ask yourself, if the situation gets rough, do I have Iman and Yaqeen to know how I'm going to do it? Do you know we are the only people in America and Europe and Australia? We have no community, we have no leadership, we have no system, we have nothing. When the time comes, believe me, we will be like chicken in a slaughterhouse. We will be a chicken in a slaughterhouse. And nothing you can do. Why? Because we will pay the price of our negligence. Where's the brotherhood? Not in there. Where's the sisterhood? Is not there. Everybody kissing and hugging and running away to his family. Do we know the situation of each other? No. Do we know what's going on? No. Do we have any system between each other? No. Do we have any kind of communication between each other? No. Do we live around each other? No. MashaAllah. Not even a locality. Sure. Why? Please, anybody has a question, Muslim and non-Muslim, feel free. I'm here for that. Go ahead.
Alaykum As-salam. One of my coworkers asked me today why non-Muslims aren't allowed to enter Mecca. I couldn't explain why.
Why non-Muslim not allowed to enter Mecca? Mecca considered almost like a mosque, a holy place. And according to Islamic constitution, okay, is not allowed. Tell him study Islam, be a Muslim and you will go. No problem. It's almost like it was in a TV, you know? Because it was a question already. In Channel 13 and CNN, somebody raised a question. Are you allowed to enter the Vatican in Italy, inside the shrine? You see, every shrine has, you know, dignity and has manner and adab. Tell them just from manner and adab. Tell them, is this just a topic, the whole earth fighting each other, and you worry about Mecca? Like I like one person tell him, oh, you, and the F word, you know, you guys coming here, go home. The another person, he's a Muslim for a long time in this country, you know, actually born in here. He said, oh, you came by mistake in a boat. We came because we love this country. You see, today we have to use wisdom. We have to use wisdom. You see, today you cannot just answer in a rational way. You have to use wisdom. And you have to sense who's asking you and why. Because a lot of people, they do not ask questions really because, no, they want to stop you. They want to trap you. This why today we are the enemy of Islam. You know why? Because we're not seeking knowledge. Imagine I'm sitting here like a dummy and I ask question and nobody won't ask question. You guys should beat me up with all the questions. We have a lot of situation, we have a lot of questions. We have to educate ourselves. We have to educate our family. Go ahead.
What can we do to really show the example of Islam besides just giving information and emailing?
MashaAllah. What happened is actually email and all this will be witness against us, not to us. Islam is bred by the role model, by adab and akhlaq, by manner and conduct. I said it today. If you ask me today in the front of Allah, what is the ultimate jihad today? I tell you have adab, have good manner, have iman and yaqeen. This will be the ultimate jihad. Because we're so dirty, our heart full of dunya. You are a student here. How much time is spent to get together and make some event? How much time is spent to make an evening and participate with some money from your own money and make some beautiful meat or beautiful dinner and invite the non-Muslim and buy different books and different material? and somebody to talk. We won't show them Islam, but the cheapest way. We won't do any da'wah, but the cheapest way possible. The early Islam, the Muslim, they try to do da'wah with the most they can do. Big, huge difference. You want Allah to open for you? Sacrifice. Sacrifice your time, sacrifice your effort, sacrifice your money. This is the time to show Allah if you are honest or a liar. It's not three. Today either you are honest or a liar. Muslim or a hypocrite. And a Muslim, if you said I'm a Muslim, go to Quran. Find out what's the quality of Muslim, what the Muslim is doing. Because in Mecca, you have a job to do. We have a job to do. We still is leaving. You have to really do the maximum effort. And if the heart is dead, the heart is, you know, almost rusty, what you do? You have to make an effort to build this iman and yaqeen. You have to make an effort. You have to cry to Allah. You have to go to some scholar or some learned person and ask him, where am I? How I clean my heart? You have to de-attach yourself from the attachment of dunya. Allah will not come to your heart when you're so attached to your wife and kids and husband and car and program and the college. We worship everything except Allah. This reality. Because if you worship Allah, you will make an effort for Allah. Here we are, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a golden opportunity to spread Islam. And how much effort we do? Talk to yourself, honest. How many hours I'm doing it for da'wah weekly? How much money I have in my budget go to books and da'wah? If I give you now books for free, oh, you happy because free. But go buy it by yourself. Oh, it's expensive, my brother. What do you want me to do? I'm so busy. I have no time. You know what meaning? Meaning the second beat-up would be so severe. And you would be running like chicken in the street. And your ultimate would be dead. And even it would be dead as a murtad, out of Islam. This is severe. Wallahi is karam. This topic is karam. Look at the statistics today, the economy is going down. Very severe. If the economy of this country go down, you would have a big war against us. I'm telling you. And it will be not from them, from Allah. Because we came, we neglecting the message of Allah. I said it before, if you remember me, I tell you, you're not here to for vacation. You're not here to get a degree and running home. No. You're here for a job. Yes, you can learn. Yes, you can make business. Yes, you can make money. But it's not the goal. The goal has to be spread Islam. You have no another choice. If any scholar tell you any that or something like that, he's a liar. You have no rights. Unless you are immigrant from Bosnia or Albania, even then, now you have to show Allah, the one who saved you, what you're planning to do. The day it happened, I was in Jacksonville, Florida. I was shocked. 30,000 Bosnian and Albanian in Jacksonville. 30,000 only in Jacksonville. You know how many in message, wife? And from the five, three as a guest, and only two young brother. This reality. But when you go to their houses, they already established dunya. Exactly like us, what's the difference? You see, we said, Astaghfirullah al-Azim. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. And what's the difference with us? You meet people for 20 years, 30 years, mashallah, beautiful houses, income in the bank, a nice car, all the girls and boys in the college, they get a degree, but they lost Islam. And we happy. My daughter is nice, she's a doctor, she's an engineer, but she's going to hellfire. Mashallah, mashallah. Allahu Akbar. You see? She has no Islam, she has no Iman, she goes to marry another Muslim. Allahu Akbar! Today, the majority of us, if you go to statistics and run all over, a lot of young Muslim female marrying non-Muslim. Why? What does this tell you? It tells you they do not know. They do not know. Or you go to the masajid, you find a young man or a man coming and with a girl, and she said, oh, Oshir, he's going to embrace Islam and we want to get married. Do you know Islam? No. Why you marry her? Because I want to marry her. Who is playing game? And the Imam said, okay, come on. Say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, anna Muhammad Rasul. Come on. And we do nikah. We playing game with Islam. And when in fact he's not saying it for Allah. Where's the Muslim, my brother? Really, where's the Muslim? Show me. Where's the Muslim by action, not by tongue? What are we going to say to Allah? You see, we're not even in a state to really listen and do. What happens if the beating you start and a lot of bloodshed? What are you doing? Are you going to run? Or are you going to take your clothes off and become Yankee? Kufi off, Yankee on. This is what we're doing. Where? Tell me, where is Islam? Where is the reality of Islam? What we planning to do? Okay, this is my condition. I'm sick, this is my condition. You should now beat me up and tell me, brother, tell me what to do. Tell me what to do. Because at this time, Allah wants from you to do, not to say, not to talk, what to do. Any question, any concern? Yes, sir.
If someone embraces Islam, what is the first thing you want them to do?
What's the first thing?
Yeah, what should you tell them first? Like,
Ya Allah, when somebody embraces Islam, first to embrace Islam, you have to have the pillar of Iman. The person has to announce and believe in the pillar of Iman. What's the pillar of Iman? Anybody know? The pillar of Iman to make you a Muslim. You cannot embrace Islam unless you believe in 7 or 6 or 8 according to who you are and where you're coming from. Do you know it? Anybody know it? Go ahead.
Iman.
What's that?
Iman.
Iman. What do you mean? Tell me. Somebody now non-Muslim. He asks you how I embrace Islam. What you tell him?
You have to believe in God, in His Messenger, in His...
Okay, meaning you have to believe in the oneness of the Creator. The Creator is one, He's not a male, He's not a female, He's nothing similar to Him. All the creation in need of the Creator, and the Creator do not need and depend in any of His creation. This number one, the pillar one, the belief of the oneness of Allah, the Creator. Number two.
His messenger?
His messenger and prophets. Number three.
His books.
Number four.
His angels.
Now you're talking. Number five. What's that?
Scriptures, books, all the
The last day of judgment.
MashaAllah, the day of judgment. Six. What's that?
Measurement.
I cannot read.
Measurement. Destiny.
Oh, destiny! MashaAllah! Number six. What else?
The creator of all things good. It's the creator of all things good for me.
No, this is part of the destiny. Destiny good and bad. This one.
Day of judgment.
We said it.
Jannah and
Jannah. MashaAllah. Jannah is true, Paradise is true. And if the person is a Christian, he has to de-announce Jesus is the Son of God. Meaning anybody has all believe, he has to de-announce and said, I'm bari, I am denied the belief of such and such act. This pillar too. If the person have all this pillar, now he's ready to embrace Islam. Now, this is very important and listen to me carefully because it's a sickness in the ummah. Once a person embraces Islam, if it's a female, you have to have hijab, sister. You have to have hijab. You have to cover up. And if the man have a kufi, have a beard, and make salah, but you do not even build iman in Islam yet. We have to go slowly. We have to educate them slowly. And this go according to the level of the person. Some people, for example, they did the homework and they did a lot. And they ready. Now you teach them wudu and you teach them salah. Even if the person do not know how to make salah, is actually recommended to you, teach the person wudu and let them make salah behind you, and you give them the part of the time. For example, we did Jum'ah now. Somebody embraces Islam now. If I won't do him a favor, after that immediately he make dua, because the dua of the person who embraces Islam is accepted. And the bear witness his dua is accepted. Very important. After that, you make him make wudu, and you leave the salah and the person behind you, male or female, with the intention you pray for them. The fard of Zohar, for example. And this I recommended to speed it, just to let the person do complete salah even by the body. By this way, if he dies a person tonight, he already makes sajda to Allah. You see? By this way, please be gradually with people who embrace Islam. Look at us. We do not even embrace Islam yet. We do not really fulfill the right and obligation of Islam. And when somebody embraces Islam, oh, you have to make salah, you have to make zakah, you have to make... Take it easy. Teach, but slowly. Slowly. Do you know what the ultimate need? To be a brotherhood or sisterhood. And this is what we do, not do. When a person embraces Islam, Allahu Akbar, and the person go. Do you have his phone number? No. Do you have his phone number? No. Do you know anything about them? No. Do you follow up? No. Do you visit? No. Do you support them? No. Do you know what the problems they have? No. Do you connect them with anybody, learned person? No. Look at in Mecca what happened. When people embraced Islam, they embraced each other. They embraced each other. The rich support the poor. And they was together. They bond. What we doing? Because each person embraces Islam is in the front of Allah, is our duty to support them. They have nobody. The bond between a brother and a brother and a brother to sister is higher than even husband and wife, mother and brother in the blood. The bond between us is much higher, but we neglect it. We do not value it. And this is why we fail. If we value the bond between each other, you will see what Allah will do. Any question, any concern?
If someone asks us about the World Trade Center as Muslim, what is the best thing for us to say first?
If you know, you talk. If you do not know, ask him please, can I give you a phone number of somebody? He's really educated, he can tell you. From Sharia point of view, can a Muslim attack an innocent people? Even in the time of a war? You see, to know the answer really, you have to go step by step according to the rule and constitution of jihad. Number one, before we talk about this topic, are you all interested to know? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, number one, you have to know. Are we now, when these people live with us, are we in a state of war, Islamically? Are we in a state of jizya? Meaning we are the governor and they pay jizya?
No.
Meaning we came with a ahd. Meaning we came and we signed a contract when we enter and we signed the visa. What is this contract? To follow their own regulation. According to Sharia, if you live in a land of non-Muslim, you have come to comply with their own ruling. Because now you immigrated to them. Unless some of the ruling against Allah or has shirk, you do not comply. Okay? Now, what about all the country who are suffering from what America is doing? Yes, we know. The policy is double standard. They have a lot of sanction about any country. They doing this, they doing that. They do, yes, they can do a lot of evil things. Okay? But the not our teacher. Our teacher is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Is Allah give me the right to do that? Let me show you something. If any of you watch CNN, is any of you saw the program about the Afghani in Afghanistan? It's a very, very bad program. But is true or false? Someone said, no, it's not true. I said, do you know? It has part of truth. Because all what they see, they show you. They show you what happened. The only thing in the program, they do not tell you why it's done. I share it with people before who doesn't know me, or the one who know me. Go to step by step. Sharia, the revelation of Allah, constitution of Allah, came down over 23 years. You agree with me or no? The deen completed in the 23 years. Now the early scholar said, if you want to revive the deen in any given time, you have to go to the sequence, the way it happened. For example, if you make wudu, can you start with feet first? The feet is part of wudu, but can I start with feet? Can I put a kneel my nose first? No, why? Because the sequence is part and part of making wudu. When I make Allahu Akbar to make salah, can I make rukuah first? No. Can I make sujood first? No. Meaning the sequence of salah is a fard and part obligation of salah. Similar, my brother and sister in Islam, the sequence of building iman and yaqeen and Islam and iman and sharia, it has to go to the same sequence of Quran. Now, you have to study the last 100 years in the Ummah, or 200 years. In the last couple of 100 years or less, wonder what happened when the Ottoman Empire fell down. No Khalifa. No Khalifa, no Imara, no Sharia, Sharia stopped. Finished. Because Sharia, you cannot implement Sharia without Khalifa. You cannot. You cannot come and cut your hand off or cut somebody who steals. You cannot. Yes, it's a had. It's the rule of Allah. But it has to be a governor. By a governor who running according to the Khalifa. If you do not know that, go ask any good scholar. He will tell you. Anyway, when this happened and the Ummah start going down, many people, many good people tried to revive Islam again. One of them is Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab in Saudi Arabia. He started as a da'wah, according to the teaching of Ahmad ibn Hanbal, radiallahu anhu. But before you know it, the Britisher came, tuk 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 tuk, is a fight, he became martyr, shaheed, finished. Now later on, the follower of him, they took this friction of the da'wah and stuck with it. But it faded away. And it become now only in Arabic Peninsula. Islam is going down, sleeping, all the Muslim Ummah under colonialism. Now after that, the first after that groups revived some Islam was Ikhwan al-Muslimin in Egypt in early 40. And before you know it, right away, Hassan Banna died. He was in the marsh, he got killed, he became martyr, inshallah. And the da'wah again takes a quick change from da'wah only to Allah to da'wah with force and start building army. And before you know it, in early 60, or not even early 60, in the mid 50, Gamal Abdullah says that president of Egypt take over in 52 and they slaughter 250,000 of them. 250,000 of the top. But let me tell you what's going on. Because we are doing one problem all the time. We run too quick and we jumping. And we do not respect the Sunnah of Allah, the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you know and you study the history, you will find out in the early 50, it was 2 million belonged to Ikhwan Muslimin. But you have to understand, is this 2 million really a good Muslim? Zero. But some of them signed today, signed 1 week ago, a month ago, meaning the real education never takes place.
The real education, the real tarbiyah never take place. That's why when Abdullah Said take over, the 2 million, what happened to them? Run! All shave the beard, take the clothes off, change the address, do this, do that, panic. And the devil left over in jail, slaughter finished. Because a Muslim, according to the Sunnah of Rasulullah, kayyis fatin, meaning he's patient and wise, learn from the mistake. Right away, in the same time, Abu al-A'la al-Mawdudi came, he meet Hassan al-Banna, he like what's going on, he takes the same idea, he follow it in Pakistan, he made Jama'a Islamiyah in Pakistan. The same ideology exactly. And before you know it, a big corruption, and a big fitna, and even in Pakistan, they become divided over him. Even some of them, some people consider him a fasiq, wa'azu billah. Some consider him a martyr, some consider him a shaheed, some consider him a good man, some consider him a fasiq, some consider him a kafir. Why? Because certain thing he said. What happening is a trial, is a big fitna, get away. But we learn only one thing, is all this group get really big fruit. They get slaughtered every 10, 15 years. Get slaughtered every 10, 15 years. All this time, you will find out all this group only aiming for one thing. Hukuma, the government. They believe they have to take the government and start cleaning up. If you study Islam, Islam go down, up. Islam go inside, out. Not outside, in. You see? Now, after that and during this time, many groups. You have to know, the Muslim under oppression. The Muslim really under oppression. A lot of hunger, a lot of this, a lot of that. And all of a sudden, group after group, all kind of groups. In Saudi Arabia, the Salafi, Ahl Sunnah al-Jama'ah, another groups, Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahy al-Munkar, another group, Jihad, in Egypt and Pakistan and Afghanistan. And at this time, the war between Afghanistan and the Russia. And the beginning of announcing Jihad. What happened to Palestine? Everybody forget Palestine. Why? Because Palestine, when it start as Islamia, for Islam. And after that, it become a case for a land. When the situation gets rough, it become for Masjid al-Aqsa. But look at the flag. The flag is not La ilaha illallah. The rally of Muslim is not La ilaha illallah. You see, Jihad, if you study Jihad, really study Jihad, is da'wah to Allah. Jihad actually designed to invite toward Allah. إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحُ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا. Meaning the purpose of victory, when you see people coming in abundance, entering the fold of Islam. This is a victory. We forget that. To slaughter somebody and let him to go to Al-Faraj is easy. When I was young, in an early, like a teenager, somebody tell me, you know, if you want to be a martyr today, you are greedy. You are stingy. I said, how come? He said, you want to go to Jannah and all mankind want to go to hellfire. You don't care about them. He said, this is easy today. It's easy to go and do anything and kill yourself, no problem. But it's not easy to make an effort and spread Islam. It's not easy. And don't forget, in the front of Allah, to go in the front of Allah, said, I die, ya Allah, I kill one, I kill two. Is Allah will be happy for you? Or when you go and say, oh Allah, I help those people to enter Islam, ya Allah. I support ya Allah for you. Which one is higher? The second one. Because we are supposed to be the one helping people to enter Islam. Mercy to mankind. And we have to remember, at 200-300 years, is no Islam. Really no Islam. No any Islam and governed by Islam. Okay. Now, where do we go from here? If you study what happened in Afghanistan, one scholar, he wrote a beautiful book almost 10 years ago. He said, الدروس المستفادة من حرب Afghanistan. The lesson can be learned from the war in Afghanistan. Do you know what the first one? Anybody tell me? What the first lesson we learned from the war in Afghanistan? No unity. It never was unity. Muslims was bickering against each other from the beginning, group after group. Every group looking for Islam from one angle and do not like another group. and they forget Yadullah ma'al jama'ah. To be unity is above anything. Unity is above anything. If all of us is a sinner, but we love each other in the front of Allah is much better than all of us is a pious people and we are bickering against each other. Do you know why? Because if we are together and a sinner, as soon or later Allah sends His mercy and He will awaken us and He will help us. But if we bickering each other, the mercy of Allah is lifted. And the touch of Allah comes to us. Because we deny what is the main point Allah love and command us on to be united. Imagine for 20 years or something, the Muslim bickering with each other and we do not even have able to be united. I know many people, big names, they went with the intention to try to unite them, one by one, one Amir after another. No way. And we see the result. The result, when Kabul is open, wonder what happened. Who was happy? No. Tick, 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 tick. For how long? 10 years. Or 14 years, fighting each other. Do you know what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said? Al-qatil wal-maktula fi jahannam. The one who killing and the one is killed, both of them in hellfire. This is very famous hadith and many hadith in the same topic. When a fitna coming, the Muslims who are raising the sword against each other, both of them in hellfire, even before the blood come down on earth. They ask him, Ya Rasulullah, why? He said, because the one is killed. If Allah give him a chance, he will kill his own brother. I believe in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I saw it. Why? Because we're running so quick and we never have tarbiyah and tazkiyat al-nafs. We never have the bond, the real brotherhood, the right understanding. Look at the whole ummah today. All the scholar is right and left. كُلُّ حِزْبٍ بِمَا لَدَيْهِمْ فِرَحُونَ. Every group and every sect with what they have is happy. This is a disease in the ummah. We know Rasulullah SAW said the ummah will be divided. By this way, what we learn? For example, if you study what happened in Afghanistan, I said it in the last couple of days, I said it many times. When a war of Afghanistan was going on between Russia and between the Muslims and each other, who really was the victim? Women, children. How many of them left? Anybody know statistics? How many women in Afghanistan without men? Anybody know?
500,000.
What's that?
500,000.
500,000? You dreamer. Really? It's over 3 million. Over 3 million widow and children without no men. And actually, the statistics is 10 years old. Because the first 15 years, it was 1.5 million shaheed from Afghanistan men. And by the time, this time now, it's over 3 million men already killed from the beginning in late 60 until today. You do not add to those all the handicapped, all the victims from all the mines. Do you know in Afghanistan today is a lot of mines not booked by the Russian, is booked by Mujama'at against each other. And none of this mine field have no maps. None of it has no maps. Who's the victim? The innocent children. Now, think about it from Sharia point of view. Because I'm a Muslim, meaning I have to follow the constitution of Allah. If I inherit, like Taliban, if I inherit this situation in this land, what I do? What does people need? Anybody can tell me? What does people need now? You have a small amount of men, a lot of women, a lot of children, a lot of widow, a lot of elder, and a lot of corrupted people, you know? So, cut in pieces. What are you going to do? What do you need? Is during the 30, 40 years of the war, it was really any dawah and education for all this woman? Yes or no? No. Believe it or not, yesterday in my house, it was Afghani man, he keep arguing with me, is Quran is the only thing, and he should not make salah the way we make salah, and salah should be the way he likes. Because the hadith is so corrupted, and we have to follow Quran. You have many groups like that. But why? Because it's negligent. There's no education. And you have to add the older, you know, sect. Because North Afghanistan and many areas is 10-15% Shia. And South, you have Mujahideen fighting with each other. And Kabul, and the middle, you have the Taliban. Who's the Taliban? How much do you know? Who's he are? Okay, they take over. What they did, the first thing they did, implementing Sharia. What they implement? They do not implement Sharia. They implement Hudud. You know Hudud? Hudud or Ahkam, meaning when somebody commits sins, for example, when a woman commits adultery, you do rajm if she's married, and if she's single, you give her 100 wa or 80, according to different school of thought. And similar for men. Now, and this, one who steals, you cut his hand. All of this regulation came in the last 3 years in Revelation. Is you now, when you take the oath, you take care about all these people and you give them da'wah for 20 years? Who give you the right to implement Sharia all of a sudden? This is another sickness. And it's not only them. It's many who believe we have to do Sharia. Sharia has to be right now. And they forget, to implement Sharia, you have to have people who have the quality ready to run and govern Islam. What happened to Algeria? We do not learn from it. What happened in Egypt? We do not learn from it. We do not learn from every situation happening on earth. Why it was a failure? Because we, in the front of Allah, I'm telling you, we deny Allah. We deny the teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sequence has to take place. In the last 300 years, I challenge you, if you tell me in any era, in the 300 years, we ever do da'wah the way it should be. We never do da'wah the way it should be. The only sometimes groups do a little bit da'wah, certain groups Sufi. But they're doing it in the, like 5, 10, 15, in their own way too. But in a massive, real da'wah to Allah, purely to Allah, without no name, without no sect, is not done. Everybody jumping, and nobody want to build the roots. Everyone wanted to decorate the house, but the house is not there, and even is no pillar. I said it before, I have a businessman, I talked to him almost 25 years ago in Egypt, big businessman. He said, if any Islamic group take over, with my money, I will go to Italy and get some mafia to kill them. And he's a Muslim. But what kind of a Muslim? Why? Because you see, today, the Muslim, the non-Muslim, the weak Muslim, the out-of-work Muslim, which I can, if you tell me today, how many Muslims today out-of-work, I tell you 99%. Now, if you're the 99% of a Muslim out-of-work, how do you implement Sharia in 99% out-of-work? I have to give them education. I have to give them da'wah first to the basic of Islam. Elevate them little bit by little bit. Because I cannot run, for example, Egypt 70 million by 500,000. How I implement Sharia in 70 million? When the 70 million will fight me. It happened in Algeria. Again, it was da'wah, it ended up by jihad, and right away fight, and killing, and many villages were burned. Sure, is a lot of mess from different areas. What we learned from that? During all this, many groups was choked. Many Islamic groups was choked. They believe they have to do something. And what they said? They believe is America is the head of the snake. Okay, get it. How you get it? Destroy it. Do whatever you can. If you read and study in the early 70s, how many Palestinians used to kidnap plane? A lot. How many they kidnap boats? A lot. What is done? What benefit to Islam? Today we are so blind to the point we forget the word Islam. You see, every group wants to do something but forget about Islam. Islam is not important. I did my political whatever, or I did something, I'm a macho. They said who, and we do who too. What's the difference? They beat us up, and they beat the innocent, we beat the innocent. It become a revenge. If you study in jihad, jihad no one single word about revenge. It's not existent in Islam. You have no right. You have no right. Because you're working for Allah. What about the famous story when Ali ibn Abi Talib was fighting with somebody and he spit in his face? He leave him and he run. The enemy ran after Ali. And he said, "Ya Ali, how come you was killing me in my throat and all of a sudden you run from me?" He said, "When I was killing you, I killing you because Allah commanded me to kill you. But to the moment you spit in my face, I felt it in my head. I become so angry. And I fear Allah, if I kill you, I will kill you for my anger. And I have no right." He embraced Islam. This is the manner. We forget, if you study the jihad and the manner of jihad, wallahi, you'll be crying. You'll be scared. Jihad has full of manner, adab. You're not allowed to cut a tree. You're not allowed to touch a woman. You're not even allowed to touch a body. Meaning once a body, once an enemy, you kill him, you have no right to play game with his body. We have no right. Even if you study the fiqh of jihad, they said, is a mas'ala and a hukm. They said, what happened if you are fighting a group and a woman supporting men, and you kill men? What happened to the one? You killed them too, or you did not kill them? You said, no. You do not kill them. You kill them only if one of them carry a woman and can endanger your life. Only at this time you can't fight a woman. If the woman do not fight you, you dare to fight her. You dare. You have no right. Woman and children and elder. This is Islam. Why people embrace Islam when Muslims enter of their manner and character? By this way, if you plan to do any action in Islam, you have a constitution. The highest constitution in fiqh. Do you know what is it? They call it Rad al-Mafasid Afdal min Jalb al-Masalih. Closing the door of badness is better than open the door of goodness. Meaning anything can causing fitna and causing a problem, close the door. Even if by Sharia is implemented or is supposed to be. By this way, my brother, Islamically, this is not right. Why? First, you're causing damage to Islam. You're attacking innocent people, okay, without warning. You said, but they're doing it to us. They're doing it to us, that's their job. We have a teacher called Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They're not our teacher. We have a teacher. We forget our teacher. The situation today all over in the Muslim Ummah become bing boom. They did it, we do. We did it, they do. You know? Imagine if I'm Osama bin Laden today, and I'm in Afghanistan, and all is done. Do you know what Sharia tell me? I stand up, and I go to them, and they said, here am I, to stop the bloodshed. Because the bloodshed of the Muslim is so high, so valued in the eye of Allah more than anyone else. In the time of the fitna, in the time of Ali ibn Abi Talib and Muawiyah radiallahu anhuma, some of the companions used to do like this. They break the sword, they throw it away, and said, kill me, but I will not raise my hand to you. And some of them died in this stage. Some of them, they make a mud, and they enter in the mud. They enter in the mud, and they keep crying until they get killed inside the mud. But they break the sword, because they feel so scared of what Rasulullah SAW said. The one who raised a sword to his brother, both of them is in hellfire. By this way, in Islam, you have an institution. What is it? The benefit of Muslim and Islam. Today, we are in the beginning of Mecca. This is what I'm telling you. Because we have no Sharia, we have no Khalifa, we have nothing. We're running like chicken with our head all over. Now, is we in last 300-400 years show that non-Muslim Islam really is show it? No. You talk about the media. The media doing their job. Shaitan do his job. What about me? You see, exactly, wallahi, may Allah forgive me. and forgive you, and all of the Muslims today, we acting pure hypocrite. The hypocrite talk and do not do. The Muslim do and do not talk. The Muslim busy with what Allah wants from him. The hypocrite talk, oh, we will do, we will do, we will support you, we will do it, who. And when the time comes, the person run, and you don't see his face. But the Muslim go according to what Allah wants from him, step by step. Do we today, believe me, if I'm a Khalifa today, I will get the Muslim, and I kill 80% of them. Because he deny Islam in America. And we hear it over and over again, and we become so slave to ourselves. Let's go back to Afghanistan for a moment. If I'm a Khalifa in Afghanistan, and somebody elect me Khalifa, all this woman, what about announcing to all the Muslim Ummah, we have 3 million Muslim women, please come and marry. Number one, to care about their need, to care about them. Islam is mercy, really, is rahmah. If you study Islam, one scholar in almost like 600-700 Hijri, he used to write about Tawheed. Tawheed meaning warning and fearing people from Allah. All his books about Tawheed. According to the report, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him a dream. And in the dream, a message came to him. He said, what are you doing? He said, I try to make people afraid from you, Ya Allah. He said, deeper prayer, I will make you scared from me the day of judgment. The man get up and he cannot go to sleep. He start crying. And he's scared. And he start writing only for Tarheeb. How to love Allah. For 2 years, how to love Allah. How to love Allah. How Allah is so mercy. How Allah is so kind. For 2 years. In the end of the 2 years, he saw a dream. He said, what are you doing? He said, I won't give you mercy, Allah. He said, just by doing that, I will give you my mercy. But this way is a principle in Islam. What you planning to do, Allah will give you. You want to be mercy to mankind, Allah will be mercy to you. What about Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu? When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died, and who ibn Abbas? And he was 19 years old. But what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I will talk about him, Hadr al-Ummah, meaning the head of all the scholar. You know? The head of all the scholar. And people used to complain about him. Do you know why? Every Muslim used to ask him question, he doesn't give him the answer. He gave him the license. You know what I mean? He gave him the license. Meaning, for example, if a situation tough and he have to get beat up 100, no. He tell him 5. Or do this. He just tried to escape the person from any regulation. He tried to let the people use the minimum. And wonder what happened. They call him the man of license. They ask him, oh, Ibn Abbas, why are you doing that? Why you make it too easy for people? He said, I'm afraid if Allah take me. And he asked me, how are you to care about the people? I will tell him otherwise. I would say, oh Allah, I try to make it easy for them. Do you make it easy with me, Ya Allah? Abdullah ibn Umar is the opposite. He was very tough. And when they ask him, why are you tough, Ya Abdullah? He said, I'm afraid if I die. And Allah asked me, I said, I make it easy for people to become, you know, easy with you, Allah. Both of them is right. But today, you have to ask this fiqh now. The fiqh is today need Abdullah ibn Abbas or Abdullah ibn Umar? Tell me, today, we need Abdullah ibn Abbas or Abdullah ibn Umar? Ibn Abbas, we cannot have Abdullah ibn Umar. Really, we do not have it. We do not have it. We do not have it. By this way, today, try to be Ibn Abbas. Try to spread mercy. Try to be kind.